Okay, good morning. And we're back from China a few weeks earlier. My son graduated yesterday, so that was definitely a great event, and my whole family just tremendously enjoyed that, along with watching the other graduates. It was just an amazing ceremony, and it was tremendously ministered to the parents, I think, and those who were there. So just it was great to be here for that, and it's great to be here early. My family's been in Kunming, China for about 6 to 7 years now. We've got a great team that is with us, and it's just been an amazing last few years. Just in the last couple of months, we had Pastor Brian visit and did a family center seminar, and we had about 90 Chinese people there to be a part of that all-day seminar. We were planning for about 50 or 60, but a lot more came, and we had to find chairs from different places, but it was great. We also had a Bible college graduation, our first one, this past year, and that was great. So we had graduates, and we had a graduation banquet, and it was, it's just an amazing thing, and it's just amazing to see what God is pleased to do there in this country, and what God is allowing us to do. And we just, this is a church and a work that is spreading out to other places, but it's really sent out by this church, and we really rely on your prayers and just thinking about us, praying about us, because what we're doing there is, to say the least, very illegal. There's nothing that is there's nothing that we're doing, I think, on a normal work week that we do that is allowed, but it's being allowed. And God is allowing it, and God is just blessing it, and He's leading us to move forward in the plan of God. So it's exciting, and we'll be, excited to share that with individuals. If you have any questions throughout these next weeks, we'd love to share it because it's exciting. Just as a thought, this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse 3, "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And just, Lord, bless these few words now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just considering yesterday and this morning, I was thinking about when a person is perhaps single and considering marriage, and in that process of considering marriage, there might be many options for a spouse. And it's they go through that maybe, who should I get married? Who should I consider for a lifelong relationship? And it perhaps maybe a period of time, and like I said, there could be many options for that person as they consider that lifelong relationship. But when they make that decision and they decide who they are going to marry, then their options go down to one. They really give up their options voluntarily to marry this one person. And then there is no other options. But when you give up those options and you marry that one person, there's a depth and a fullness and an intensity of a relationship that you never had when you had many options. And it's a very special thing that you enter into when you give away those other options that you had. And I think we as Christians, we have many options in this world, kind of vying for our heart and our affections, our goals, our plans. All of us have a tremendous amount of options. That's something that God gave us. It's gave us a free will. He gave us just the ability to choose which, you know, direction we would go and where we would set our heart upon and what we would put our affections on. But it's amazing when you just draw near to the person of Christ and you get to know the person of Christ. And as you do that, you just take a step of faith and you put away those options of all other things in your heart and in your affections, and you put them on Christ, and you say, I'm just going to put away my options, and I'm going to make Christ my life and Christ my focus. And when that happens, it's amazing what that does for your soul. And it's amazing, as a marriage picture, Song of Solomon is just an amazing picture of an intense marital relationship and an intensity of a relationship. I was thinking with Christ, there is like intensity and singularity and an intensity and focus. And when you are like before Christ, like Mary, and just focused on Him, and just putting aside the other things around you and prioritizing this time that Christ is speaking to you, there's an intensity in that simplicity. And it just does an amazing thing for your soul, and it just brings us into a place where really our souls were created to be. And that is just a very simple, focused, single-eyed relationship with the person of Christ. And it allows us to enjoy other things, relationships, other parts of our life in a way that we never really did, because our life and our just fullness is derived from just a simplicity and in our intensity with Christ, and not what these other things on this earth can give us, which is so limited. So there's an intensity and simplicity with Christ. And I just wanted to share those few things. And it's great to be here. It's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. And it's great to have my wife and daughter here. They were here a couple weeks ago. But, you know, they've been with us for, you know, all these years in this amazing adventure in Kunming. So we'll be looking forward to talking with you. Thanks.
Speak to me. Speak to me. Wow. Great words. Speak to me, Lord. Just in your seat, just have a moment of prayer and say to the Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to people in China. Speak to missionaries. Speak to moms, dads, politicians, generals, officers, mayors, governors, university students, athletes, Hollywood directors, producers. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, the prisoner, the wicked, the unbeliever. Speak to them, Lord. Speak to them. We are lost without you. But speak to us. Speak to the believer in the church, the Spirit speaks to the church. Lord, speak to me. My Bible speaks to me. Speak to me. Lord, speak to me. Yes, Lord, in Christ's name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you stand, please? Stand and have a good attitude. Stand and have a good attitude and express that attitude to the person next to you. Turn now to Isaiah 59. No, Isaiah chapter 1, please. Isaiah 1. Up on the screen, I'll draw the planet Earth, if I can. How do we do this? Come on. Not running. Okay, come on, this one. Planet Earth is coming up. Our graduation yesterday was historical. It was amazing. It really was. Oh, that's too big. Okay. Here it is. You know, Pastor Steve has an inflated view of the earth. Do you see it? It's right there in the middle. I read something fascinating. The Halley's Comet, it goes in a very, very a spherical orbit. And it came by in 1682. And there was a mathematician who was a friend of Sir Isaac Newton. And he predicted, the comet will come back in 75 years. And let's see, he died 17 years before it happened, but in 1758, it came back just like he predicted. And his name was Halley. That's how it got its name, Halley's Comet. The point of saying this is that a mathematician on the Earth observed this phenomenon, and he was able to predict its return mathematically. Isn't that amazing? How's your math doing? What's your capacity? What can you figure out? Your bank account, maybe? What's that?
He did it without a computer.
Yeah, he had his own head. You're right. I'm making a point here. There are laws in the universe, and God made the universe. And there are laws that are physical, there are laws that are spiritual, there are laws that are moral. Let's read Isaiah chapter 1 for a moment. Verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. They have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Verse 5. You'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Okay, we're not done. That's a good text. Now go to Isaiah 59, please. And I'll have you just read the first two verses out loud. Verse 1, would you read it with me? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Okay, you may be seated. There's another short sketch I'd like you to think about. I do think it's amazing that we are made in such a way that we can observe the universe. That the scientists tell us that our planet is very unique. Also, the position of the planet in the Milky Way, so that we can observe it and even beyond. Some of these people that are able to do this and tell us about the laws of physics, the laws of nature, are really astounding. We also read that there are laws about life that we know about psychologically. We know about a big problem that the human race has, which is guilt. The modern man is saying the guilt is unnecessary. We have been educating ourselves, and our religions have educated us in the realm of being guilty. People are guilty because of religion. People are guilty because of laws. And we feel that we should change some of this and be able to live a life as we please without guilt. It's interesting because I like to think of psychology as a field of science or a field of study, biology, astronomy, physics, and many fields of science or studies that we know about, literature, history, government, and so on. And is there anything that unifies these studies? We can put here the study of theology, the study about Jesus Christ, the study of the Bible. And the world is okay with this. And they study and they learn, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, ever learning, but not coming to a knowledge of the truth. We're in interesting times because what we read in Isaiah goes along very much so with the times that we're living in today. The Lord is saying, my hand is not shortened, I can save. My ear is not heavy, I can hear. But your iniquities. In our diagram here, which you're probably all trying to figure out, what does that mean? There is a underlying context, and it is me. That the important thing in this world is really me, my life, my way of thinking. And so we have everybody saying that. And the problem is that our iniquity our self-love has separated us from God. So we could say that our view of this world is more like this. Psychology and all the different sciences and studies. And then we have a unified, and this is God. We believe that we can't really understand life without God. Our theology will only be in a certain realm unless God is in our theology. When Christ came, he came to a society that they were doing as they pleased, but in the area of religion, they had a small pocket, the Pharisees. They would not come to him, submit to him, nor seek God, though Nicodemus did, Josephus did, and later the Apostle Paul met Christ. When you meet Christ, then the whole world changes. And we realize that he is really the author of it all. He is the very root and the reason for things. You know, Halley's Comet, you can tell something about how it works. Mark Twain said he was born when Halley's Comet came around and he went out of the earth, out of life. He died when it came back. He got to see it twice. It comes once every lifetime. But can anybody tell me why it comes? We know how it comes. Or that we are here on the earth, but can anybody tell us why we are here on the earth? Or we are guilty. Can anybody tell me why we are guilty? We live 70 years. Can anybody tell me why we live 70 years? No, we cannot find the answers in science or nor in philosophy. Guys, we don't have the reference. We need God. And here in this chapter, the Lord is saying, this is what is happening in your world as you stay away from me. As you stay away from me and you're separated from me, this is what is happening. And it relates to us today as well. Verse 3. We could actually go through the whole chapter. I'm not sure if we will, but it's very instructive. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. Well, we would say, what does that mean for us? Well, we have killing going on. There's blood. Things that we say. You might say, I haven't killed anyone. Abortion. Someone said the most dangerous place to be in this world is in a mother's womb. That's where there is a lot of bloodshed, a lot of death. Now, we aren't lying, but when we are talking about life without reverence to God and the fear of God, then what are we saying? When in these hard rock music bands and so on, and they speak about the grave and the death and suicide, and then we have a spike in teenage suicide, we are not lying. We are telling the truth. Is there truth on a level that the human heart is hungering for? When you hear the perverse dialogue on these television programs, these social means of talking about weird and perverted people and habits and so on, is there not lying going on? in our culture that is easily accepted, and we listen to it like it is candy, enjoying it. The adultery, the lying, the murder, the violence, this is indicative. They sell it because people buy it. Verse 4, none calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. Well, yes, there's some poor man who's been misguided, and he is saddened that he's been ripped off. He was lied to, but where is the teacher in the school, or the football coach, or the counselor, or his mom and dad, or the movie that's going to reinforce his sense of character and morality? Where does he find it? But there is the scorning of that kind of morality, scorning the hero, reinforcing the victim. I have a lot of papers up here that we could use to illustrate it. I'll just go by categories. The AIDS virus and homosexuality, children's education and the anti-bias curriculum. They want to reteach the whole idea of what witches are. Witches are not old hags that are demonic. Witches are nice old women that help and heal you with herbal remedies. This is taught in public education to reinvent or to educate, like it's surface education. It's politically correct education. The whole politically correct a phenomenon that we are watching in our country has something to do with chapter 59. Let's read it. Verse 4. None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Professor from Hopkins, I've got the article here. Chair of Psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University wrote an article, liberals hated it, about this transgender issue. Was it 0.3% of the population wants to change their sex? And he said it is impossible, it has never happened in the history, and that Hopkins has done those surgeries in the past, but they stopped doing them because the suicide rate was 20% higher with those people than normal. They saw it benefited them in no way. But why is are these leaders, why are they speaking about these things? Why is this an issue? Why are they making a big deal about it? I'm telling you, it violates the law of nature. Just like this Halley's Comet has a law that it operates by. And many other laws are in this world. And there's one about the human psyche, and it can't be violated. And if you violate it, then there is more trouble. And let's read it. It says it. It's right here. Verse 5, they hatch cockatrice eggs. They weave the spider's web. Cockatrice's egg is not a good thing. They hatch them. Can you imagine having a whole batch of eggs, serpent eggs, and what would you do with them? If you're smart, you don't hatch them. You destroy them before they are hatched. You get rid of the lie before it takes another form. You get rid of the div problem before it develops into a master problem. The Hosea 8:7 says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. We are planning, and this psychiatrist from Hopkins said, He said, children are not prepared to make those decisions. Prayed children are not to be asked the question about their sexuality. Their sexuality is obvious, and it's to be reinforced and told, knock off the nonsense. He didn't say that, I am. But why are we doing it? Because we have separated ourselves from God. We have found other things that fascinate us. We have found something twisted and wrong. Legalizing marijuana, when marijuana, carcinogenic, 5 times more carcinogenic than tobacco. You smoke a marijuana cigarette, not only affects your brain cells, but it affects your throat, your mouth. Well, are we prepared for the medical bills and all of the rehab and all of the problems that come from legalizing such a stupid drug that idiots partake of? And I was one of them. Encouraging adultery. Ah, ha, ha. How cute. How funny. How cute that is. Oh, yes. Isn't your heart on fire? Aren't you in love with your neighbor's wife? Oh, may your lust be gratified. Snap the snapshot. Fast forward. Broken hearts, suffering, betrayal, lies, maybe even murder, destruction of people, somebody's in prison, a broken heart, broken family, children brokenhearted. Oh, that's very cute. That's very cute, but it is violating the very nature of the world that we are designed to be part of. But what is the problem with the human race? But it is ourselves, our sin. So there, this is the chapter. Let's go. It says, the spider's web is woven for a garment, but he that eateth of their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. Verse 5. Their webs shall not become garments. You ever walk through a field and walk through a cobweb? Get that off me. You know what it is. But it is not clothing. It is not clothing. It is a lie. If you say it is clothing, it is a lie. It is not comfortable to wear it. It does not work for any value. It is actually an irritant. It actually disturbs me. Actually, I want to get it off of me, but I cannot get it off of me, for our society and culture is clothing us with lies. Yeah, lies. Verse 6, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, for there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, verse 9. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. They are lying down in sorrow. There is no gospel here. There is no message. There is no Christ here. It's only people. They're just talking. It's about money. It's about sex. It's about power. There is no humility. There is no answer. There is no wisdom. It's about your job, your professorship, your tenureship. It's about your contract, your money. It's about cheating somebody, but nobody finding out. And I lie down in obscurity. I lie down in darkness, and I wonder what is going on. and our world is filled with it in many forms. It's dressed up very nicely in all this jazzy, all this stuff. But when you go beyond it, there's nothing there. We grope for the wall, verse 10. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. Our salvation, but it is far off from us. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. You know, in the communist countries where we ministered for decades and lived there actually for a period of time, you saw the damage of lies. I said to some Hungarians, how old were you when you first realized your government was lying to you? They said 14. I was 16. I was 12. I said, how did you know? They said that we evolved from the primates, and there is no God. And I find it fascinating, in the communist country, they laugh at evolution because it was a tool of manipulation to reinforce their ideology of atheism. Here we embrace it, but at the same time, we say that God exists, but we cannot bring ourselves to believe that this book is inspired. And 17 times in Genesis 1, it says God created. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. God created out of the dust. Jesus said, if you cannot believe in Moses' writings, and Moses wrote Genesis, then how can you believe what I say? What I say goes along with Moses. You believe in what I say, then you also believe in what Moses said. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, now I find that the same question. How old was I when I found out my government is lying to me? Well, I can say I was now I was 60 years old. It happened a few years ago. I didn't realize that. I have understood that our culture is and without God. I know that. But I am amazed that we put into office people that live in lies without any problem and propagate it as a platform, and it reproduces pain, and we've got to pick up the pieces. That's why God put us here. Just like in the communist world, we preached the gospel and the response was amazing. Within months in Moscow, we had a church of 100 people. It was amazing, the hunger, the spirit. Tell us about God. Tell us what you believe. Yes, but it may hurt you. You may lose something. Yes, I will lose something, but if I can gain God, I'll take the loss. If it's according to the laws of nature, we could say, where we would say that it is true that we have sinned and we suffer with amazing guilt, confusion, and blindness because of it. We build a whole world without God. Oh, yes, God can be there for the religious people. Let them have their God. Oh, yes, whatever God they want. But don't tell me that you build your whole life on God. And this is what God is saying. You are, I will, we're getting to that part. Let's read it. Truth has fallen in the street. One time I was in a country and I saw a woman fall down. It was in the winter, the icy thing. I never saw a person fall so hard. At a bus station, she fell, slipped, and I mean, went totally 180 degrees. Some blood was there. We ran over to aid her. Truth has fallen in the street. What? Truth is fallen in the street. How can that happen? Well, in a one way, it can't. Ailey's comet doesn't care about your opinion and mine. In one way, truth is truth, and it is what it is. In one sense, it'll never fall. Nothing can be said against it. In one sense, God is God and God is truth, and that cannot be touched. There is no counsel or wisdom or understanding that is against him. Proverbs 21:30. But in another way, amongst us, truth is fallen in the street. Lies are propagated. We don't want to hear it. Go away from us. We don't want it. In one sense, the scorner, and this is a great study. I know this is a serious message. I know that this is not the way we usually preach about grace today and who Christ is, and we want to get to that in a minute. But I, this is on my heart. I am so angry and so upset about the lies that are propagated so freely. And who is standing out and saying a lie, a lie? Teenage suicide, AIDS virus, legalizing marijuana, encouraging adultery, having the cesspool of Hollywood come into our home day and night. We go to the door and we lock the door to keep the enemy out. Seven locks. To make sure that no thief gets in. Then we turn on our television and the thief is there stealing the heart and the mind of godly people, the heart and mind of children and young people who see violence and sexual things day and night. Wrong. Verse 15. Yea, truth fails. And he departs from evil, makes himself a prey. You leave evil, and you're going to get a big bullseye on your back, on your T-shirt, a big bullseye. You leave this group over here, this wily gang of thieves and murderers and criminals and liars and deceivers, and say, I'm not part of that, then you're going to have a big bullseye. You're going to be a prey, it says. You're going to be a big target, and the scorner will scorn. Look up the word I did this morning, the scorner, Proverbs 9. We don't reprove a scorner in every case. You try to win them by love. The guy's a scorner, laughing and mocking, but you get him alone, and you have a talk with him. But I want to say there is a whole big, wide mouth. A big mouth in the book of Revelation. The Antichrist says a big mouth. He's a big mouth. That's the big mouth that we talked about when we were kids. You're a big mouth. Big mouth. He has a big mouth and he's a scorner. And when Jesus was dying on the cross, the scorners were there enjoying the party. Look at him, the fool, the idiot. Who's with you? Nobody. What did you accomplish? Nothing. You are nothing. At the local country club, they will scorn your faith. At the local university, they will scorn you. As a believer, that can happen. Well, the Lord saw it in verse 15. And it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw there was no man, verse 16, and wondered that there was no intercessor. If he interviewed me, he'd say, could you stand? I'd say, Lord, I don't have the courage. The Lord, if he interviewed me, say, could you be my man? Could you stand? I don't have any intercessor. I say, Lord, I don't have the interest. I don't have the understanding. I don't have the desire. I don't have the ability. I don't know what it is exactly you're talking about. When I get hurt in life, it does bother me. But after all, this is the way it is in this enchanted land of deception. Don't ever stand up against the enemy. Don't ever take a stand against the lie. Do not do that. You will become a prey. And when the Lord saw it, it displeased him. Verse 16. He wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation, his righteousness, and it sustained him. His arm brought salvation. You know what the arm? Fingers? What did God do with his fingers? Made the universe. With his arm, what did he do? He sent Christ. Which was harder? Created the universe or saving us? Which was more difficult? What the fingers did was easier. What the arm did, it took his whole arm. Christ came. Verse 16. He brought salvation. Verse 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. This is in his second coming. It'll be very obvious in his second coming, but in his first coming, be patient with me, we're almost done. In his first coming, we see him. Wow. Jesus, say it again. He came bringing salvation and righteousness. He told stories, parables. He raised the dead. He healed the blind. He gave miracles. He gave mercy to the sinful. He converted Zacchaeus in the tree. He counseled the woman at the well. He is a mighty Savior, a great God, full of compassion and care. And there is a hunger to hear him and walk with him. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rising of the sun, that's the east. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Let me tell you short history. 1845, so 1850, our country was divided because of the slavery. There was a civil war coming in 10 years or 11 years. God prepared the country and sent a spiritual revival. Both sides went to war. There was revival. There were generals on both sides who handed out tracts to their... They had Confederate chapel services. They had federal services. There was a revival and the nation was praying. And God raised up a great president who also stood in the gap for righteousness' sake. And he said that this is not right. Every man that comes to this country has a right to life, liberty, and a pursuit for his own property. The war passed. Many souls saved for sure. Now it's 1910, 1920, prosperity time. Decadence came. Problems socially, morally in our country. Alcohol always was a plague. Adultery, lasciviousness. God raised up Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday preached and closed down saloons and bar rooms. Many parts of the country, all across the country, there was a revival. And you would say, that cannot happen. These people are too far gone. They have embraced a lie, spun a spider web. Cockatrice eggs have broken out generation after generation. But the Lord said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise up a standard. I sent Christ in a difficult time in Israel. And Christ came and he brought a revival with him. And he raised up disciples. And at Pentecost, there was an outbreak, an amazing manifestation that changed the history of the human race. And we are in times today, too, that are crazy. But I like the craziness to speak to us and say, hello, hey. When the enemy comes, that's our finest hour. When the enemy comes in like a flood and they tell us that a little girl is a little boy, and these are our leaders, and Hopkins is saying not so, but they insist because they have separated from God and God has allowed the children of disobedience to run these countries, to lead these schools and places of business. There is a remnant because God sent Christ into the world. And Christ has put his spirit in us. And the Lord say, will you be an intercessor? I say, yes, Lord. If you could give me the prayer, I will pray the prayer. If you would give me the message, I could share the message. If you give me the power, I can bring the healing. We got to pick up the pieces, God. There are women that have gotten an abortion that are languishing in their guilt today. And they want to know that there's another answer. Not the local psychiatrist, but a living Christ. He may have his place, I'm not saying that. But a living Christ, that's what is needed. In every village and town, more pastors, preachers. Well, Billy Sunday did an amazing job with a lot of controversy. Billy Graham came next. World War II happened, people returned, the platform was set for a message to people that saw the devastation of a war, saw the power of evil Nazism. It was paganism. Neo-paganism is Nazism. With all of the trappings of every lie and every cockatrice egg you could imagine, where we saw it happen in a whole generation in Germany and bring world war and devastation into the families, and a whole generation of German young men was wiped out. Well, this is not fun and games. We need a Messiah who doesn't back down, who has a helmet, breastplate, and I'll tell you what it is. You guys can study Halley's Comet, and you know about it, and there's a law there. But the minute I touch your personal life, you hate me, you reject me, you don't like it, you refuse me. But I am the answer for you, because when you find me, you will find rest for your soul. When you find me, you will find peace like a river. When you find me, you will be crowned with glory and honor. When you find me, this book will be opened to you, and it'll become food and bread and life and love. And you'll find, and you'll be health to the nation. Last part, verse 30, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. That means to us, too, that turn from our wicked ways to the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed. Your seed. Imagine, we saw the graduation. The parents were in the school too. And we saw the word that went in the mouth of our seed, of our children. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed, seed, that's your grandchildren, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Well, we have a lot to do. And I'll finish by saying, we used to have a counseling service on telephone in Hungary, and we got many hundreds of phone calls every month. We advertised it on buses, on the telephone book, emergency hotline. They did it in Finland. We did it in Finland, too. And I was thinking how we want to do all things by all means to reach, pick up the pieces. Pick up the pieces. The ass knows what's going on. The cow knows. The oxen knows. The fish that swim to Japan from Oregon, literally. The salmon come down the river, they go to Japan, come back to Oregon. They go again in a year. It takes a year. And if it survives, it goes 4 years. In the fourth year, it comes back to Oregon, goes up the same river it came down when it was born to spawn up there. The fish knows what's going on. The birds know what's going on. Halley's Comet knows what's going on. But my people, they have spun spider webs. They have believed lies. They have hatched cockatrice eggs. And they are suffering for it. And I'm out there saying my arms are stretched out wide. I do anything and everything. And nobody's listening. So I sent my son. And whoever receives him and believes in him has a new life. You'll be healed from your wounds. My wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet that cannot be mollified with Prozac, cannot be bound up with ointment, cannot be healed with alcohol or drugs or any triangular affair. We're eating more pizza. It cannot be healed from the top to the bottom of my feet. I cannot find any healing anywhere but in Christ, in God. And when God comes in, then our world comes together. And when our world comes together, we'll have the comfort we need to live in this world, which, by the way, can be tough. Any way you cut it, it can be tough, but we can do it through him. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? This is a prayer for you. We would love to help anybody that's in trouble because of these things. We have been there. We know the need. The need isn't, our politics is what it is. What we need is the gospel. Our world is what it is. What we need is Christ. We need Christ in the American people to be wise and pray and make decisions day by day to lead their lives in the faith and find the Spirit filling them. Say in your heart to the Lord, Jesus, I have, Lord, cockatrice eggs that I have hatched. I have suffered from them. But it's over today. I believe you will clean it all up. Cast it all out. Save me. Forgive me. Clean me all up. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things are passed away. Would you say to Jesus, I believe in you, Jesus? Just say that to him. He will hear you and answer you. And then raise your hand and say, yes, I accept Jesus today. Raise your hand. Say yes to the Lord. Anyone here? Yes to the Lord. Yes, thank you, sir. God bless you. Beautiful. Thank you. Say yes to the Lord, and the Lord will take you all the way. Say yes to the Lord. The Lord will help you. He said, I will finish it. What I started, I'll perfect all things that concern you. I will finish it. I am saving you. I have washed you clean. You are forgiven. And I, Christ, am your Savior. Learn me, you will love me. As you hear from me, you will love me, you will find me, you will know me. Day by day, talk to me, I will answer you. Prove me, I will show myself to you. Ask me for bread, will I give you a stone? No, I'll give you the bread. If you ask for meat, will I give you a serpent? No, I'll answer your prayer. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, I'll give that to you in Luke 11:13. And more, I give you everything that I have said to you in the Word. And by the Holy Spirit, you will know. You'll have everything you need through me. In Christ's name, amen.